Welcome to Musically and Technically Speaking, a podcast where music and technology intersect, hosted by Brenda Minch and Carol Broves. In today's podcast, we discuss the beginnings of our collaborative composer project. Okay, so this is a conversation about a project that Carol and I started called the Composer Project. When did we start this, Carol?
Well, actually, if you recall, it was at that den thing over the summer. We wanted to do a project together, and we had to come up with something that two of us both wanted, liked. Plus, you taught K-3 and I taught 4-8, so we knew it wasn't going to be something like the same grade level.
Right. Hold on. Didn't it start before the den thing? I thought that was when we finally got it together to get organized, but I think it started before that.
You're right. It started before that. We had talked about it at IMEA, but we didn't know what we were going to do. We knew it was something about composer. And then we had to do a file. We had to do a file at Den.
That was it.
We decided, ooh, let's do it. And actually, that was the first time we used Google Docs.
True.
And so we did a Google Doc, and we did the recording in GarageBand, and we only had time to do one take. We only had one take, and we did it in one take.
Yes, we did. And that was when we did the little introductory video. So you were right. We had our first problem to overcome was that we had different age levels of kids that were going to be involved.
And I'm a Mac, you're a PC.
And I cover composers different than you cover composers. Would you agree?
True to our own selves, yes. And we want to stay true to our own selves.
Right.
So this was more, it was less of a, it was a collaboration between the two of us, but it was more of a cooperative group with our students, because we allowed, they were self-standing. What you did with your students was completely different than what I did with mine.
Right. And I think that, I don't know that I would call it, I know we call it the Collaborative Composer Project, and I am a lazy girl, and I call it CCP for short with my kids. But I don't know that it's really so much collaboration, because we aren't really trying to get together with the groups of kids to make an end product necessarily, no. So much as we are using the idea of the composers and learning about them as a point of rotation for the conversations.
Right. Yeah, because it wasn't really, the collaboration came between you and I working together and getting an end product, but our students' project was not a collaborative. It was a cooperative where they worked by themselves and put it up, and then your kids listen to or watch mine, and then my students listen to watch and listen to yours.
Right. So maybe we should have called it the Interactive Composer Project, because that's really what the kids are doing. They're interacting with each other and right. The material, but not really collaborating with each other.
Right. And we didn't even know how this project was going to. We just knew we were going to do it, and we just sort of let it have its own life.
Right. I made the wiki first. I think I did that first.
Yes, you did.
And the wiki, the reason I wanted to put the wiki together was I wanted a clearinghouse for all of the information that was going up so that we could have one place where both you and I could work to put stuff on. Originally, I kind of thought maybe it would be an okay idea to just have you put your stuff on your website and I'll put my stuff on mine, because I know how to get to yours and you know how to get to mine, and we can get our kids there without a problem.
Right.
But I thought it was really important for all the stuff to be gathered in one place, because I, in my head, kind of thought it might be nice to try and do this for more than 1 year.
Exactly. And that worked out great. I mean, the only problem came up is when I had to put my videos somewhere, and that was sort of funky.
Right.
But, that worked out fine. We just made an alternative website and linked to that.
Right.
So I started the year. We knew we were going to do this. You sort of worked on yours, and I, of course, had to deal with, the kids had to pick a composer through listening to songs through Hooked on Classics, and pick a composer and then do some research and then decide what they wanted to do with their composer project, whether it was going to be, you know, they were going to do something to the music. And given that it was music, we had to deal with the 30-second rule. So that was a whole other thing. My kids had to listen to all their songs. Some were like 15 minutes long, and they had to pick their 30 seconds.
Right.
And do all the editing. Meanwhile, while that was going on, your kids were listening to...
We were listening to Classics for Kids podcast. And then what's nice about this for all parties involved is that, I mean, the way I'm doing it was a little bit more set and get, where the kids were just kind of learning introductory stuff about a composer, whereas your kids were maybe doing a little bit more hands-on kind of stuff with the actual music at this point.
Right.
But it was a nice balance because your kids then could come and, you know, deal with my kids' stuff, because we ended up making that voice thread that was kind of like a little quiz game where we put up a whole lot of true facts and one false fact, and your kids had to find the false fact.
Right.
So that's how they were interacting with us.
Yeah, and you had already done voice thread, so I had never done voice thread.
Right.
So I had to teach my kids. We had to set up accounts and do all that. But that was a piece of cake. That actually went very fast. Whenever I do something new, one day just sort of getting organized, and the next day they were all done in 10 minutes. It was
right.
Like, oh my gosh, I got to come. You know, they went so fast. So we did voice thread. I also did that really cool thing with Google Docs where they had to find out where the guy was buried.
Yeah,
oh,
with the map. That was cool.
Oh, they love that activity where, you know, how did he die and where did he die? And so they could really figure out in all different countries where their composer died. So that was really cool. I like that was in Google Maps. So I'm going to do that again. And
yeah.
I know that we're going to be talking a little bit about, you know, extending this and trying to get more people involved. But it worked out great. And then my kids' little videos were so different.
And my kids really enjoyed watching them, too, because, you know, they had heard we were focusing on a composer in each class. And I think basically this year we got to, like, Mozart, maybe Bach, I don't remember. But we definitely didn't cover the breadth of composers that your classes were covering.
Right.
And because they had to sit down and watch your little 30-second videos, they got exposed to some classical music that I probably wasn't going to get to. And they were excited about it because they knew they were going to leave comments for the kids to
right.
read, and so that was nice.
Right, and we had Web 2.0. And I have to tell you, Brenda, the comments that your kids gave totally blew my kids away, because I've been commenting for 2 years, maybe three. This might be my fourth year on my website, third year on my website. And I've had a real, you know this, I've been working on my kids' commenting skills.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's cool, it's, you know. And I'm really trying, and your kids, when they started asking questions, that was a hook. The kids got way into that. Like, how did you do this, and how did you do that? And that was fabulous. And that improved all of the comments in the entire school. Just
That
activity in fifth grade.
Excellent.
Because they really got into that.
Well, and you know what made me, because I probably would have just sat down and said, make some comments. But in our conversations with you were talking to me about, you know, that you were working on commenting and making sure that the comment kind of proved that you had watched or read whatever it was that you were interacting with. And so I took from that, I didn't have to go through 2 or 3 years of trying to figure out, well, why are these comments just goofiness? You know, well, that was nice.
Right.
So I made, like, parameters for my kids when they started making comments. We pulled up one video, and we all sat down as a class, and I did this in every class, where we sat down as a class, we watched the video, and I said, well, tell me something. And they, you know, listed off some stuff. And then I would say, okay, but that doesn't really tell me anything about the video or why you liked it. You just said that you liked it. And so we got down to some nitty-gritty comments, and we did that as a class first. And then when it was time to do individual comments with these third graders, I said, here are the rules. You must write at least 2 sentences. One of them must be a question, and one of them must be something that is nice. And you must write with capitals and periods. So all of those parameters had to be met, and I told them I was going to take a grade on their comments because I had access to your webpage
right.
to see what they were putting up there, so I could go through at the end of the week and say, okay, you know, Joe Schmo didn't write a comment, Mary Peters did write a comment, but she didn't put capitals, and so-and-so didn't write a comment or wrote a comment but didn't put a question in it. So those were all gradable opportunities for me.
Right, and the thing with iWeb, that's the one thing I hate, and I hope they change it. Apple, are you listening? you don't approve the comments. They go up immediately.
Oh, seriously? So you don't have any way to, like, monitor?
No, I have to. I'm always on the web making sure things are okay. Last year I had a problem with this fifth grade class. They were in fourth grade. I wouldn't let them comment for 4 months because I had a child that did something really bad up there.
Wow.
So, and that's part of Web 2.0. You know, you deal with it. And I don't. I think there was only one comment that you had emailed me about that you wanted deleted.
Right.
I think the kids were just fabulous. I mean, you're going to have something where they posted, you know, inadvertently, or, you know, that's going to happen. Because I think that's what happened. The kids posted twice.
Right. And or the kid. I don't remember if it was that or if it was that they. It wasn't that they were mean or anything. It was just something silly, like the spelling was really bad or something. And
right.
Anyways, but yeah, I think that's how do you deal with then? Because on my blog, I get a little email every time something is held for moderation. Right. If you don't have any moderation on your website, how do you keep track of, you know, what's being commented on?
In iWeb, when you pop it up, it will tell you how many comments you have, and it will show you where they are. But you have to go, you have to open up iWeb, and you have to see it. And it's proprietary, so it's on my laptop. I can't do it on the web. Now, I can delete from the web. I can delete from the web. I've done that, you know, sitting at...
But you can't add content from your from another computer?
No. My iWeb is completely on. Well, that's my back of my laptop. It's completely on here. That so it's not up on the web. It gets posted to the web.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, that's a little known fact.
That is a little known fact. Okay.
That's why I back it up all the time because I'm in panic.
All right. You never know. Okay, but before we've got a couple more minutes left here. You never know, though, what the kids are really going to like about this project. And I think for my kids, aside from the, like, the, what is it called, asynchronous, where you don't, where you're not in real time, the commenting and stuff, we made a point then to also pair up with each class with another class and do a Skype call, I don't know, once a month.
Oh, they love the Skype call. And you know what's so great about this? Something, you know, you talk about not, I think having different grades, not having 5th grade to 5th grade, this 5th to 3rd grade was just spectacular. My fifth graders just loved looking at the little 3rd graders. They just were, because, you know, we don't have 3rd graders in our school. It's 4A.
Right.
So they were just precious. It was wonderful. They were so excited. Now, one class didn't get to Skype. We had a weird scheduling problem. So we made videos.
Right.
And they liked, the kids liked making the videos. I mean, everything worked out, you know, they go with the flow.
All right, it's all about, you kind of got to think out of the box, you know. Of course, this whole project was kind of about thinking out of the box, because when was the last time you talked to another music class? And what I, you know, we talked about, we're going to present this project at, hopefully, cross your fingers, at IMEA, Illinois Music Educator Association, State Convention in January. And part of the reason we'd like to do that is we'd like to kind of expand this beyond just our two schools, and I would kind of like to expand it beyond the state of Illinois.
Right. We had talked about this. The whole idea was, because so many of us do, all of us do composer projects. Every single teacher does some form of a composer project, and the idea of pairing up with another teacher, not the idea that you're all working on the same thing, but you take what you have and you pair up with someone and you do something like this.
Right.
So, hopefully, the powers will be to let us present.
Hopefully. I think it'd be a good idea, because I think it'd be, I think this is an area that's not being addressed in music education right now. It's hard to be collaborative or cooperative in nature with a performance group because, you know.
Too many people.
Too many people, and I suppose you could work it out, you know, to do something with sight reading or something, but it's very hard to perform a piece with Skype. It would be tricky.
Yes.
You know, so I think this is an area that definitely we could make use of, and a great way to get kids excited about general music, especially in the, which I know you don't like general music, the name of it, but to get,
topic.
Right, to get the older kids, you know, your 5th through 8th grade kids, which sometimes can be hard to reach with music projects. So that's the composer project. We're looking to expand it, and so if you're interested, we'd love to have you drop us a comment, and Carol or I, will get back to you and see if you're interested in joining us this year. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you would like more information on any of the topics we discussed, all the links are on the blog.